Last week we left off in Gemara Megillah, the beginning of the third paragraph, on Chof Aleph on the days, and the Gemara quoted two dinim, that every aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, and the Kriyas HaTorah altogether, Mishenei Vacha, Mishnei and Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, has to have a minimum of ten psukim. So if each aliyah just has three psukim, you only have three aliyahs, so three and three is nine, so somebody has to have at least four psukim. So if you have 12 psukim, four, four, and four, that's wonderful. But if you don't want to lane 12 psukim, just want to lane 10, so which is the preferred way? So the Gemara quoted three possibilities, that the Kohen gets the biggest aliyah before psukim, or the lady gets the biggest aliyah, or the shlishi gets the biggest aliyah. The Gemara quoted a precedent that maybe the first one should get, maybe the last one should get, maybe the middle one should get. So then the Gemara quotes an incident that Rav Papa once visited a certain shul, and they gave the first aliyah for psukim, the Shabchei Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, that's nice, that's very good, that's the more preferred way, that the first aliyah should have the four psukim. Okay. But the Gemara said, all three possibilities have a precedent in halacha, whether the most important should be the first, or Malam HaKadosh Olam reading the last aliyah, or the middle aliyah. The middle one should be the Mubcha. If you have 12 psukim, it's a lot of good. Okay. And Tosfos raised the issue that Apurim, Elaine Vayava Amalek only has 9 psukim, doesn't have 10 psukim. The one in Machaber writes that opinion in the Rishonim, that you should repeat the last pasuk twice. Many people repeat the last pasuk to quote Hanhagas of the Vilna Gaon. So the one who wrote the sefer was supposedly close to the Vilna Gaon. So he writes that when the Gaon leaned, when in his Beis Medrash, when they leaned Parshas Amalek, instead of pronouncing it Zecher Amalek, they pronounced it Zecher Zegols. They showed the sefer to Rav Chaim Elojener to get a haskama before they printed. So he commented he doesn't remember that at all. He would have remembered. That's very noticeable. He said maybe the fellow had wax in his ears. Maybe the one who said that he heard from the Gro that Zechem is more correct than Zechem, maybe it's incorrect. He doesn't know. Maybe the Gon changed his mind in his old age. He never heard that it's Zechem. So the Mishnah Brewer recommends you should lane it twice. So a lot of people lane over the last pasuk twice, not because of the reason of Tosfos and the Mechaber, because you have to have 10 psukim, so you should lay over one pasuk twice, but rather because of the suffix, where they pronounce it Zecher HaMolech or Zecher HaMolech. That's a question. Let's say a person recites Kriya Shema, and he knows that he mispronounced a certain word in the middle of the Kriya Shema. So it says, if he knows Shetor, he knows he made a mistake. Chazal Amachim Shetor. You have to recite Kriya Shema Kirsovoy in the order that appears in the Chumash. So let's say he read the first parasha, and he realizes afterwards that he mispronounced a certain word. So he should go back and reread from that place on, from that pasuk on. So if you look in the big Mishnayos, the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos, and the comments, they have a lot of times commentaries that don't. They have a lot of comments that don't appear in the Gemara. So on the side, on the margin of the big Mishnayos, and Mishnah and Brachas, Chazal Amakom Shetor. So they quote three opinions. What does it mean Chazal Amakom Shetor? So one opinion is, let's say you mispronounced one word in the middle of a pasuk, and you already read a pasuk or two after that. You went ahead. So one opinion is you go back to that word, and you correct that word, and you, from that word on, you keep on going. Second opinion is, you go back to the phrase. It doesn't make sense to go back just to the word. Go back to that whole phrase in the middle of the pasuk. And the third opinion is that you go back to the beginning of the pasuk. You should read an entire pasuk, not to read a half a pasuk. So that would be the shaila. There are different practices. When the Mishnah Brewer recommends you should say the pasuk twice, means the whole pasuk, with the word Zecher HaMolech, Zecher HaMolech, say the whole pasuk twice, or just to say the word. Moche Emche, I think Yom HaMolech says Moche Emche, then later in the Chumash Baruch says Timche Zecher HaMolech. The Rebbeinu Shlom promised that he's going to wipe out Amalek. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his published essays, quotes a passage from the Zohar that that when the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, there was a lot of tohu vavohu, and then he improved everything, and he made Yirakia, Yikavu Amayim, this, that, everything. So he straightened out. So he took 98%. Of the tohu vavohu, he converted into a beautiful world. And 2% he left. And that 2% of tohu vavohu, that's Amalek. And he wants the Bnei Yisrael to become shutrim with him in converting the tohu vavohu into a beautiful world. So he said, he promised, Em chezech Amalek, he's going to destroy Amalek, means he's going to give Bnei Yisrael the koyach. He wants us to become shutrim in removing of the tohu vavohu. He instructed us, Tim chezech Amalek, we should wipe out Amalek. That's what we pray for now. The Rebbeinu Shlom should give Tzahal the Koya to wipe out Amalek. That's what the Rebbe said about the Nazis. Any nation that adopts as a policy to wipe out the Jewish people, men, women, and children, have the din of Amalek. I think we mentioned it the other week, that when the German government offered reparations money to Medina Yisrael, to individuals, to give back some of the money that the Nazis stole. They weren't prepared to give back all the money. They were considering giving back some of the money. So there was a big debate in the Knesset. Is it ethical to accept the money? Because if you take the reparations money, it's as if you're telling them all is forgiven. You did tshuva, you gave kofar, and the kofar nefesh, and you're off the hook. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like those who felt that it's unethical, it's not. But then he spoke for the Mizrahi at that time. Mizrahi was in the government, so it was a question whether they should vote for or against this. So at that time he felt that, he said the Nazis had a din of Amalek. He pointed out that the Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Rambam that there's a din of Zayin Humus. We have a tzivui. Achrem Tachrim, we're supposed to wipe out the Zayin Humus completely, men, women, and children. We're supposed to kill all of them. So the Rambam says, Kvar Ova Zichrom, the Zayin Humus don't exist anymore because the Gemara tells us, Bosan Cheriv will bilbil as kol ha'olam kula. Even if the Zayin Humus exists somewhere, but since they no longer go with their original identity, so they no longer have the din of Zayin Humus. So Sefer HaChinuch quotes that Rambam as if the Rambam said the same regarding Amalek, that there's no longer any Amalek today, so the mitzvah of Pinchas Zech Amalek doesn't apply. So Leitchik said his father told him that the Sefer HaChinuch is not correct, that the Rambam never said it by Amalek. The Gemara says, after Amalek will be wiped out, we will no longer say Baruch Dain HaEmes, we'll only say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. There won't be... We recite, when something wonderful happens, we recite a bracha, Shechianu Matev Amete. When a tragedy occurs, you say, Baruch Dayinu Emes. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in brachas, Kishem Shem Baruchem Ala Teufel, Kachem Baruchem Ala Roah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Kishem? But it's a totally different bracha. Here you say, Shechianu Matev Amete, and there you say, Baruch Dayinu Emes. The Gemara says, no, what it means is, you have to be Mekabel B'Simcha. The text of the bracha has to correspond to your perception. Our perception is that there are tragedies occurring. All the time there are terrible tragedies occurring. But we should recite the bracha, Baruch Dayinu Emes, the simcha, we should have a muna that called Ovid Rachmona the Tav Ovid. It's not an easy thing. In the Sefer Tnos HaMusar, he relates that when half of the Slabodka Yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War, they heard that the Polish government was going to draft the Yeshiva Bochum into the army, so they didn't want to be in the army. So they had the Yeshiva moved to Hebron. So I forgot already which one. One of the Rosh Yeshiva had a young son who was about 20, 21 years old, and he died suddenly, and he was very promising in learning. It looked like he was on his way to become one of the big Talmid Chachamim of the generation. So the Slabodka Yeshiva was known as one of the Musa Yeshivas. So they scheduled the funeral for the next day at a certain time. So the father came to his son's funeral an hour late. The people couldn't understand it. Coming on time, being punctual is one of the big points in Musa. How can you keep other people waiting? He kept everybody waiting an hour till he came. So they were all embarrassed to ask him until he was sitting Shiva. Towards the end of the Shiva, one of the Menachemim asked him, how come he came so late to the funeral? So he said, the din requires that you have to recite the Baruch, Baruch Da'ivah, Emes B'Simcha. You have to have a munah that kol ma'dobera. He said he couldn't get himself to have any speck of simcha. It was such a tragedy. His son died all of a sudden. His mind called Madavid Rachman Litavavid. And after an hour of repeating and saying it over to himself, he convinced himself a little bit, the mitzvahs, to be able to recite the bracha of the simcha. The text of the bracha should correspond to our perception. But we're supposed to have a munah that is letavav. It's hard to have such a munah when such tragedies occur. So the Gemara says that after Amalek will be, Gemara Pesachim says, after Amalek will be wiped out, we will no longer say Baruch Dada Emes, we'll always say Hatayva Meitav. The perception will be letavav. And then instead of pronouncing sometimes Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, we'll always pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that hasn't come yet. Look at Shem Shani Nichta Vali Nikra, that we always pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't have that, and we still see a problem, Sadik Viralo, Rosh Vatovlo. We still don't see everything, we don't view everything, Kol Da'aber Rachman Letava. We don't see that. So it would appear that Amalek has not yet been wiped out. So that's what Ramosha Soloveitchik said. I, Babosan Chevet Bilbalas Kol Alam Kuloi, Lechiti Amar Pizi Vusivi Girgoshi. They lost their identification because both Salcher and Bilbal is Kolol and Kuloi. So why doesn't the same apply to Amalek? So that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said. That's what I remember. Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father. Others quoted in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. That whoever, someone said, that the Sif in this Rambam, that Amalek doesn't depend on genealogy, whether you're a descendant of the original Amalek and Ben Achad Ben Achad Ben. Umas Aloch Achar HaZocher has to be an Amalek and Ben Achadem. So he said it doesn't depend on that. Any nation that adopts a policy, a position to wipe out the entire Jewish people has a din of Amalek. And Rav Soloveitchik said, when Shaul HaMelech was instructed by Shmuel HaNobi to wage war against Amalek, Acharanta Mishar Vat Chamor Vat said they have to wipe out everything. They're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. So that's a big question. In the Rishonim and in the Tanoim and in the Mechilta, whether that din is a Hayru Ashoah, only in the generation of Shaul HaMelech, that you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek, or is that a din l'doros that applies in all the generations? I remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe pointed out that in the Haftarah for Parshas Zohar, Shaul HaMelech admits that Shmuel HaNobi says, you lost your Malchus because you were given this Tzivui as a Melech. David HaMelech didn't always do the right thing, but he didn't violate Hilchus Malchus. And Shaul HaMelech, Shaul Bachas, also like, Shaul HaMelech violated one din and he lost the Malchus. And David Bishnaim, David HaMelech violated more than once and he didn't lose the Malchus. How come that's not fair? So the Chayodam quotes from the name of the Vilna Goyen in the Hesped that he delivered for the Vilna Goyen, I think. So he writes, Shaul Bachas also lo Shaul HaMelech violated the Hilchus Melech. He was supposed to wipe out Amalek and not take anything, and he left all the behemoths. He violated the Din HaMelech. David HaMelech violated other dinim, but he didn't violate Hilchus HaMelech. So he doesn't deserve to lose the Malchus because of that. So I remember the Rebbe pointed out that when Shaul HaMelech admits that Shmuel HaNabi did wrong, he says, Avarti chotasi he sinned, ki avarti espi Hashem espicha. I violated the Dvar Hashem and I violated your instruction. What do you mean, avarti espi Hashem espicha? So they remember the Rebbe, Rabbi Henoch Fishman, was one of the Rabbeim in Yeshiva. He had learned by Rabbi Elbel and Soloveitchik. And I was the Talmud in the Yeshiva. There were three Rabbeim who were zeichet to have learned by Rabbi Elbel in Europe before the war. One was Rabbi Gerelik, one was Rabbi Noach Bornstein. He was a very favorite by Rabbi Elbel and Soloveitchik. And one was Rabbi Henoch Fishman. They were all wonderful rabbeim. So Rabbi Henoch Fishman suggests avarti as pi Hashem espicha. Pi Hashem means I violated the din deraisa. Espicha, I violated the hayrasha over divrei novi. The fact that he allowed Agag, he didn't kill Agag. That's Dvar Hashem. because he's supposed to wipe out the people from Amalek. But to kill the behemoths of Amalek, that was only Hayruah Shua, so that's called Oivra Divrei Navi. So that's why he said, Avarti Espi Hashem Espicha. I violated the Din Deraisa, the Duris, I should have killed Agag. Espicha violated the Hayruah Shua. But Rav Soloveitchik was assuming that that din was not a Hayruah Shua only in the generation of Shaul HaMelech. That was a din that Doris had never allowed to take anything from Amalek. And he thought even to take back the money that they stole from you, you're not allowed to take back. Once the government took the money, so you're not allowed to take it back from. So he thought that to take reparations money was not only unethical, that you're conveying the mistaken impression to the Germans as if all is forgiven, but he thought I'll keep in that it was awesome. That's what he said at that time. And then years later, the students told me I was already not initiated. So some of the students told me that I'm Soloveitchik. Said years later, some shailas apaskan min hashamayim. Like Rav Soloveitchik said, when they had Haklamas HaMedina in 1948, it was always Gipaskem in HaShemayim, that like the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that there's a mitzvah to establish, to put together an army, and to decoy the Sheretz Yisrael, to establish a Jewish government. Said some Shailas Gipaskem, some Shailas the history Paskem Zois. Apparently, since there was Haklamas HaMedina, so it's always Gipaskem in HaShemayim, that's the right thing to do. So he said, he was quoted as saying over this issue, the Israeli government decided, yes, to take the reparations money, to use the money to pave all the highways in Eretz Yisrael. And that was very important to have transportation. So he said, maybe it would appear min hashamayim that my psak was wrong, that was mutter to take the reparations money. That's what they told me in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. But then someone else pointed out that years later they had an article in the newspapers that the Israeli government realized that they paved all the highways incorrectly, so they had to rip up all of the pavement and repave everything. So all the German reparations money was wasted. When they took all the money to pave the highways, everything went down the drain because they had to do it over again. So maybe it was never demonstrated in Menashe Maim that he was wrong. Maybe he was right. Ay, ay, ay. So that's the pasuk in the end of Parshas Bishalach. The pasuk says, "En chazer Amalek." Hakadosh Baruch Hu will wipe out Amalek. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give koach to Tzal that they should become shutfim. They should be able to fulfill "Tim chazer Amalek." Yeah, that's the tov avod. That's the 2% of tov avod that Hakadosh Baruch Hu left in the world, and he told us he's going to wipe it out, the shutfis with the Bnei Sot, Emcha and Timcha, we should wipe out the Zecha Amalek. So many have the practice, they say over the last pasuk 2 times anyway, not in order to make out a 9 psukim, 10 psukim, because of the Maaseh Rav. And instead of just saying the phrase over again and saying the word twice, Zecha, Zecha, they say the whole pasuk twice. Okay. But by Ashkenaz, that's the Mechaber writes like that. You should say the last pasuk twice, it will add up to 10 psukim. But the Ramah writes, our practice is not like that. Our practice is like the other opinion in Tosfos, that the Gemara says that on Shabbos there are 7 aliyahs, minimum of 7 aliyahs, and each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, so 7 times 3 is 21. So the Haftarah always has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. Because Haftarah was instituted, 21 psukim keneged on Shabbos, keneged the minimum of 21 psukim in the Kriyas HaTorah. On a Yom Tov, when you only give 5 aliyahs, so each aliyah has to have 3 psukim, 5 times 3 is 15. The Haftarah has to have a minimum of 15 psukim, and so on. On Yom Kippur, there are 6 aliyahs, so 6 times 3 is 18. Showing. So the Gemara raises a question, if that is correct, that the Haftarah on Shabbos always has to have a minimum of 21 psukim. What do you do with the Haftarah Parshas Tzav? It doesn't have 21 psukim. There are more, but the Gemara raises that question, Haftarah Tzav. So the Gemara says that Shalom and Yonah, whenever the topic is completed in less than 21, those are given. So Tosfos said the same is true regarding 10. The halacha that requires every Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. if it's Shalom and Yonah and nine psukim, the whole story of Amalek is finished in Parshas B'Shalach and nine psukim. So Shalom and Yonah is good enough. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Shat was, why does every aliyah need a minimum? I think maybe we mentioned this why on Thursday when we started the Perek Shlishi. Why does every aliyah have to have a minimum of three psukim in the Kriyas HaTorah, has to have a minimum of 10 psukim? So he said there are rare cases where you read two psukim and you didn't even scratch the surface, you don't even know what the topic is. First pasuk says, in the aliyah, V'adabashem ha-moshalem, you don't even know what the topic is. Then the next pasuk is, V'abel b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim, still don't even know what the topic is. So sometimes, very rare, sometimes you don't get to even scratch the surface to know what the topic is till the third pasuk. So the Chachamim were mechayev, every aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, so at least you'll be able to begin the topic. And then usually, in ten psukim, even if they, let's say, Parshas Paraduma, on Shabbos Parshas Par, we lay Paraduma. Paraduma goes on and on and on, but if you lay in ten psukim, that'll be a big chunk. You will have bitten off a big chunk of the topic. In a certain sense, you've completed a big chunk of the topic. So that's what Tosfos says, but if it's Shalom and Yonah and I'm psukim, so then you don't need the 10th pasuk. The whole reason why you need 10th psukim is to make sure that you've completed a big chunk of the topic. That I found there are different collections of Das Kane and the Bali HaTosfos. So one of the collections is from a manuscript that the Spadisha family in London had a Ksavyad.
Strassan?
I think Mosad Rav Kook printed that collection.
Strassan?
Sassoon, I think, yeah. I think Sassoon collection has a Das Kein in Bali HaTosfos. So he writes, I think, in Al Chalaimus of Parah, the end of Chumash Bereshis. So he has such a comment that you never have three psukim in a row that don't tell you something new. You can have two psukim in a row that don't tell you anything new. But that three psukim in a row that don't tell you anything new that you didn't know before, that you never have. So that sounds along the lines, like Rav Soloveitchik said, that that's why the Institute, Das Kenneth doesn't talk about Kriyas HaTorah, just says you never have three psukim in a row that don't introduce some new inyan. Sure. So that's the Gemara about the 10 psukim and the 3 psukim. Then the more comments on the Mishnah, that the Kohen gets the first aliyah, says the bracha before, and the one who gets the last aliyah says the bracha after. So the Gemara raises a question, but our practice is not so. B'ho'idna, when they're editing the Talmud Bavli, I guess, in the days of Rabbi Ravashi, how come the minhag changed? The kulam of bracha l'fanah l'akhra, every oyla l'atar, says a bracha before and after. When did that change? The Gemara says, V'hidna means in the days of the later Amoraim. There's such a Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, that the Gemara says, V'hidna, that the Chachamim introduce Hashvos Heses, so they didn't change this in a certain case there. The Tosfos says, V'hidna means in the days of the Amoraim, the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, when they're editing the Talmud Bavli, that's when they made Institute Shavuos Heses. The Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi interprets on a certain Mishnah in Shavuos that the Mishnah is recording a din of Shavuos Heses. So I said, it can't be. Bizman HaTanaim, it didn't exist, because the Gemara says, Behoidna, means it was introduced in the later generation. So that's what it sounds here, Behoidna. In our generation, when we're editing the Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Ravashi, so the practices that everybody says the bracha before and after, behind the time of the Kin Rabbanan, why they change exam Shemalach Nasim and Shemalach Yotzim. Some people may come late, and if you're only going to say, only the Kohen says the bracha Shalafanash, the bracha banu, so those who come to Shul late may think that there's no need for a bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. Everybody said the bracha Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. So maybe they'll think mistakenly you only said bracha at the end of Kriyas HaTorah, or Zerim Mishum Ayoitzim. It's far-fetched. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one place it's a far-fetched chashash, but still that's what the Gemara changed the practice because of that chashash. Some of the people are going to leave early, and they may, every week they're going to leave early, every week they're going to come late. Sounds so far-fetched. they may leave early, so they think that they only said bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. They won't realize that there's a bracha at the end of Kriyas HaTorah also. So that's why they introduce it. Each other of the says that bracha before and after. All right. We already discussed it. The Kesef Mishnah had a suffix. But they didn't change his Bizman Hazeh. Was this a major change? That from now on, every aliyah is a separate unit b'fnei atzmai. And Abkemina Lalocha, that the Mishnah says a list of all the things that need a minion. So Kriyas HaTorah needs a minion. That's the Mishnah on Chav Gimel on base. You need a minion for Kriyas HaTorah. But the Rishonim says on that Mishnah, Imeschilu Basara Gomrim. If you started off Kriyas HaTorah with a minion, and some of the people left, but you have Rav HaMinyan there, you have 6 out of the 10 remain behind, so you can continue to give all the other aliyahs. Because since he started the Avishah Begdusha with the minion, it can continue. You can't read the Haftarah. Haftarah is a separate unit. The Mishnah said you need a minion for Kriyas HaTorah, and you didn't need a minion for Haftarah. What do you need another Mishnah? You need a minion for Haftarah. Means if the minion disappeared in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, it permitted to complete the Kriyas HaTorah. That's one unit. But the Lein Haftarah from the Navi, that's a separate unit. So you have to have a minion at the beginning of the Haftarah. If you had a minion in the beginning of the Haftarah, then even though the minion disappeared, but you have 6 people left, you can continue the Kriyas HaTorah. So that's the Shaila that the Kesef Mishnah raises in his commentary on the Rambam. Does the old din still apply? Bizman said that the whole Kriyas HaTorah, all the 7 aliyahs, or all the 3 aliyahs, are Sheni v'Chamishi. Sheni v'Chamishi is more shaykh that people leave. People have to run to work. Sometimes it takes forever. They're dilly-dally, and I can't miss work. So it's shaykh to say that the minion disappeared in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So that was the shayla. Was it a major change? And from now on, since every aliyah is treated as a separate unit, you can't blame the next aliyah unless you have 10 people there. Each aliyah is a separate unit. They say, no, it's still the whole Kriyas HaTorah is one unit. By the time Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote later, apparently he wrote the Shulchan Aruch after he wrote the Kesef Mishnah, that they point out from this instance, the Kesef Mishnah, he wrote a suffix. And the Shulchan Aruch paskin that the din still applies bizman hazeh, like he is in the days of the Tanoim, that even though every Olal HaTorah has a bracha before and after, but it's one long unit of Kriyas HaTorah, and even if the minyan disappeared after one aliyah, in the middle of the first aliyah, you can still continue, provided you have right minyan. You have to have 6 out of the 10 should remain behind. And we mentioned Mishkan and Zayin thinks maybe we should paskin the other way, but the common practice is like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Mishkan and Zayin. So that we discussed already. Some Rishonim say it's always like that. Nothing really changed. Always like that. Except in the earlier generations, everybody was in shul. And everybody had a mind. When the Kohen said the first bracha, everybody had a mind. In case I get an aliyah, I should be yotzei with that bracha. But if a person came in late and he gave him an aliyah, even in the earlier generations, he would have to say his own bracha lofanah before his aliyah. And everyone stayed in shul, so everyone who got an aliyah waited to hear the bracha shalach reho, asher nasan lanu, that the last Olal HaTorah would say. And if he plans to leave before the last Olal HaTorah says asher nasan lanu, then he'll have to say his own asher nasan lanu at the end of his aliyah. So some Mishanim say that it didn't ever change, it was always like that. But in the earlier generation, they would all rely on Shemek Kain. Everybody had a mind to be out to the first bracha and the last bracha. Later generation, they said each person should say on his own. His own bracha. Okay.
The Rav said, what difference does it make if people go away with misinterpretation, misunderstanding? They said, it's spelled in Kriyas and Limud HaTorah. You go away from learning with a misunderstanding, it's spelled in the Limud HaTorah.
Okay, good. Okay. Very good. So then the Mishnah tells us how many aliyahs he give. So the Mishnah tells you Chol HaMoed on a regular week there Chanukah and Purim there are 3 aliyahs. On Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh there are 4 aliyahs. On Yom Kippur there are 5 aliyahs. And we pass on Halacha on Yom Kippur there are 6 aliyahs. On Shabbos there are 7 aliyahs. And the Mishnah tells you, the Bryce explains it, every day that has more chashivas than the other day, so you have to have an extra aliyah. So it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Fine. So the Gemara has a Shaila that it never says one way or the other on a Tainus Tzibur whether you give 3 aliyahs or 4 aliyahs. We paskin 3 aliyahs, and the third one is the mafter, 3 aliyahs. But the Mishnah never says. So you can't make any diukim. On the one hand, they're sort of conflicting the Ukim and the Mishnah, where they're trying to see. The Mishnah says a day that has an extra Musaf. If you have an extra carb of Musaf, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's an extra carb of Musaf. And then on Yom Tov, there's an Issa Melocha. On Yom Kippur, there's more than an Issa Melocha. There are Inuyim, and there's an Issa Karis on the Melocha, and that's done like Yom Tov. And Shabbos is Chiyuv Misos. Yitzeh has more. So that's what the Gemara raised Hashayva on a tiny Sibur Bizman HaTanoim. When there was a tiny Sibur, the Bezin would be Gozer Tainis. Tainis Atziris Gishonim. Or Kisavim Mohammed Yartzachem. Kisavoy Mohammed, Parshas Baloscha says, Kisavoy Mohammed be Artsachem, Al Atsara Tzara, Harios and Machatzai Tzuris, that it says in Lizak Alohariya. So part of that, Lizak means more than Tfilah. Lizak means Tzoka. Tfilah be Ace Tzara. More serious than just davening. Tzoka. So part of the Lizak Alohariya, that's how the Ramah, Mitzvah says in Lizak Alohariya. Part of that is that you say Slichus and you say Avinu Malkeinu, and you add an additional tefillah. They used to add Ne'ilah. By us, we only say Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. But Bizman HaTanoim, when the Bezin would be Goyza Tainis, and Sheni Mechamishi, a lot of times for Tainis Kshamim, or any other Mohammed, any other Tzoras HaTzibur, they would daven Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not a davening that's Miyuchad for Yom Kippur. It's Miyuchad for Tainis Tzibur. Because the Gemara learns that from Sukkim and the Yerushalmi, especially the end of Tainis, learns that from Sukkim and Torah and the Nevi'im Ovim, that when you have Ribu Tefillah, when you add another Tefillah, you stand a better chance of having a Tefillah accepted and answered in a positive way. That's why it's a mitzvah, says a Lizak Olahariya. So that's what the Gemara's Mesupik. How many aliyahs do you give on a Tainis Sibah? Oh, that's going to be the Gemara later. Oh, I forgot. We're not up to that yet. Now the Gemara discusses how do you lay in Parshas Rosh Chodesh. That's going to be a Gemara later. I made a mistake. That's the second wide line on Chav Beis Amin Aleph. After the two dots, Boilahu, Tainus Sibur, Bekamo, you give four aliyahs or three aliyahs. That's later. So this Shaila is how do you lay in Amar Shchodesh? What's the Shaila? Amar Shchodesh, you lay in Ula Barav Mirova. Yes, Rabbi Shaila. Parshas Rosh Chodesh, Ketzel Kori Masa. What's the Shaila? The three different parshas, three different parashas. The first parashas, Tabiz Meisel Mataleim, is Korbonei Lachmi. That's the Korban Tomid every day. That has eight psukim. And then you have the Yom HaShabbos Nechvos, Manushal Tamim has two psukim. Then you have the Rosh HaChech, and you have five psukim. So how do you fit in four aliyahs? Amar Shchodesh says give four aliyahs. How do you fit in the four aliyahs in these psukim? So the first parsha of Korban Tamid called Yom Yom has eight psukim. So how are you going to divide that? Psukim can give two aliyahs, four psukim or four psukim. It can give three psukim or three psukim because you're not allowed to stop within three psukim, four psukha or stuma. So the eight psukim can only divide into two. Then the next paragraph, the next parsha, is the Yom HaShabbos only has two psukim. So that's not enough for an aliyah. So you have to lane two psukim and then lane into the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is next. So you can't just lane one or two psukim into Rosh Chodesh because you're not allowed to stop within three psukim after psukha or stuma. You have to lane the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos after the first eight psukim of Korban Tamid, you divide four and four. Then Shlishi gets the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos, and you have to lay three psukim into Rosh Chodesh. Then you only have left two psukim, so you can't stop two psukim before a psukha or a stuma. So how are you going to fit in? How are you going to fit in four aliyahs? How is it possible? That's what the Gemara asks. Echin Evid, what should we do? The first parsha taught me that Tamanya psuki has eight psukim. Echin Evid, what are we going to do? Nikri Trei Telosa Telosa psukim. We're going to give two aliyahs. Each one's going to get three psukim. Parsha Luhu Trei. The first parsha of Talmud has eight psukim. You're going to give three and three is six. Then you have two psukim left over. So what are you going to do? You can't stop there. Emisharim parsha pochus mishlosh psukim. You can't stop within three psukim to a psukha or stuma because people there may be people leaving and they'll think that the next aliyah is only going to get two psukim, and that's not correct. The next aliyah is going to get the, you can't give an aliyah of only two psukim. And I guess even if you have it, let's say by mistake. They gave 7 aliyahs on Shabbos, but some of the aliyahs only had 2 psukim. 1 or 2 of the aliyahs only had 2 psukim. You're not yotzei kriya soteri. You have to have a minimum of 7 aliyahs. Every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. And if they gave an aliyah with only 2 psukim, that doesn't count as an aliyah. They have to lay over, even though they already said the whole haftarah and everything. They have to lay over the kriya soteri to have 7 aliyahs. Each has to have a minimum of 3 psukim each. So that's the Gemara Shaila. What should you do in the Nikri Abu Abu? Should I give the first 8 psukim in Parshas HaTamidus? He divided it into 2. So the Kohen gets 4 psukim, the lady gets 4 psukim. So then what are you going to do? So then you have left 2 psukim of the Yom HaShabbos and 5 psukim of Rosh HaChechem. Pashaluhu Shiva, you have left 7 psukim, but it's 7. If it would have been 7 psukim in one Parsha, you could give one person 3 and one person 4, but it's not. It's 2 is one parasha, the Yom HaShabbos is 2 psukim, and then it's 5 psukim. So how are you going to do it? So the Gemara says, Nikri trei miha b'chad mi'anal. Should I lay the 2 of Shabbos? And one pasuk from Parshas Rosh Chodesh, you can't do that. And the top, the Gemara has on the top line, Chod Beis Amin Aleph, and Maschinim Parsha Pachs B'shloshi psukim. Because some people may come in late into the last aliyah, and they'll think that the one right before only got an aliyah, 2 psukim. Don't mistakenly think he only got 2 psukim. Likri trei miho, t'losa me'ach, if you're going to read the 2 psukim of Shabbos, and 3 psukim into the Parsha V'shchad, don't you only have left 2 psukim? Boshulu trei, you only have 2 psukim left. We don't want to learn from Musaf from a Pesach. It's Rosh Chodesh. What are you learning from Pesach is after? Doesn't make any sense. So the Shaila is, how are you supposed to learn Shalosh Chodesh? Amaloi, that's what they asked. Rab's son asked this of Rava. Amaloi, so Rava answers, Zolo Shamaiti, I don't have a tradition, and it's very strange. What they do, he never went to Shul on Rosh Chodesh. They were born yesterday. I don't understand what this means. Should have told him what the common prayer. What is he asking? They didn't know. What did they do? I don't know. Must have been different in Hogan. I don't know. So he tells them back, Zulo Shamati, Kayotze Bo Shamati. What's the din? It's none. The din is that every day of the year you bring Tamidim and Korban Tzibur, and every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, every Yom Tov, Chalman, you bring Musafim in addition. These are Korbanos Tzibur. So the Gemara has a klal, Ech Korbanos Shalodim Korbeno, Emet Al Gaba. That's not right that you can makro the Korban, the Bala Korban is not there. So this is if an individual person, let's say I live in New York and I was Machal Shabbos B'Shoigeg and I want to bring a Korban Chatas, it's going to cost me a fortune to travel to the Beis HaMikdash, to be present to the Beis HaMikdash when they bring the Chatas. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. It's not Mi'akeh B'Di'evet. Hech Korban Shalom and Korban Ha'imer Agaba B'Z'Lachatchila. But it's not Mi'akeh B'Di'evet. But still, Lachatchila, the Bala Korban should be present at the time that they mark up this Korban. So that's a shaila that the Chachamim had. When you bring the Tminim and Musafim on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, it's a Korban Tzibur. So who is the Bala Korban? Klal Yisrael is all the Jews all over the world. Everybody had to give Machzat Shekel money. And the Korban Tzibur was Korban on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the Mishnah says in Tainus that the Chachamim instituted that you have Anshe Mishma and Anshe Maimed. The Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaris. So every week a different group of Kohanim had the schus to be marked with the Kabbanas. So the Anshe Mishmar, the Kohanim, they had a whole week. And there were 6 Batei Avos. 6 of the families were designated to do the Hakrovas and Kabbalah on Sunday, some on Monday, some on Tuesday. So there were 6 Batei Avos. Then for Shabbos, most of the Kohanim went home. So all of the Kohanim from that Mishmar would join together to bring the Karbonas on that Shabbos. And on Shabbos, they would switch. On Shabbos, they would switch. And the new Mishmar HaNichnos would take over. And the Mishmar Yotzeh would end there. They all started at Shabbos morning, and they all ended there. Anshe Mishmar Shabbos morning. So that was the 24 Mishmaris of the Kohanim. The Kohanim had the right, and they traded off with each other. This group of families of Kohanim, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were no Mishmaris. They had just Aaron Abonav and Pinchas. They had to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They couldn't divide into mishmaris. They didn't have to divide into mishmaris. There weren't so many Kohanim. But then, over the years, first they had a few mishmaris, then in the Bai Sheni, at the beginning of Bai Sheni, it says in Tanakh, they list all of the names of the 24 mishmaris. But in early years, they didn't have 24. They had 8, and they had 16 or something. The Gemara tells you how many mishmaris. In Bai Sheni, there were 24 mishmaris. So because of the din, lachatrila, of Ech Kamanu Shalodim Karbein, I mean, Agabab, so they divided Kohanim so also into mishmaris, and every week, a different group of Yisraelim would come to Yerushalayim to be in the Beis HaMikdash. They're not makru karbonis, they're not kohanim. They're not kohanim. And the karbonis tiba tamidim v'sochim were paid for with the machzor shekel money of all of Klal Yisrael. So what was their role? They would be there. They would represent Klal Yisrael and yoytze the din of Ech The din is not the akad of the yevad, but lachatzila they would represent Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says many of the Kohanim would not go, many of the Israelim would not go to Yerushalayim. It's an expensive proposition. A person lives in America, he's going to go every 24 weeks, he's going to fly to Eretz Yisrael and be present in the Beis HaMikdash for a whole week. To be yotze the din of kavodah shalom karbein ha'emet al gabav, they represent the Klal Yisrael. So those who live far away didn't go to Yerushalayim, but they would fast a couple of days a week, and they would be mispalel that the kavodah should be accepted beratzen, and they would learn kriyas ha'Torah every day. So the Mishnah says, what did they learn? The Brisa says, on Sunday of their Mishma, Sunday they would learn parshas Bereishis. And then every day of the week, they would learn something else. So one of the days, Bayom HaRishayim, they would learn Bereshis, V'hi Rakia. And every day, they would learn a different part of Parshas Bereshis. Every week, a different Mishmar, Anshe Mishmar, who all the Israelim came to Yerushalayim to be present in the Beis HaMikdash when the Karbanos Tzibur were being offered, to satisfy that requirement, Karbanos Shalom HaKarbanos HaGabah. So they would learn Parshas Bereshis. The Tani Allah and the Brisa comments, Bereshis Bishnayim, they gave two aliyas for Bereshis. Yirakia Be'echon, the Havinimo, we asked the Kasha, Bishnayim, Yirakia Be'echon, that's three psukim. So that's good. You have three psukim. Bereshis Bishnayim. How can you fit in two aliyas in the first paragraph in the Chumash? Bereshis, Chamisha Psukim Havi. You only have five psukim, and every aliyah has to have a minimum of three. With Tanya, you have a brisa that says, Akar Batol Yivchas Mishloshe Psukim. You have to have a minimum of three psukim. So you want to give two aliyahs in Bereshis, you have to have a minimum of six. And Bereshis only has five psukim. And for the Gemara, the Itmar law in connection with that din. What did Anshe Mishma lein every week on Sunday? The Itmar law, there was a machloik, because Rabbi Shmuel. None of them lived. Rabbi Shmuel were way after the Churban HaBayis. Rabbi Shmuel were the first generation of Amoraim, Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Was way after the Churban HaBayis. Where Churban HaBayis was the year 7, Rabbi Yonasi was way later, and over 100 years later, 130 years later, it was way later. So the Itman, there's a Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, what did they do with Zman HaBayis? A lot of times you have Mishnayis, where there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, how did they bring the Karbonos on Yom Kippur, what's the din? None of those Tanaim lived with Zman HaBayis. All trying to reconstruct what the din was Bizman HaBayir, also trying to reconstruct how did they learn Kriyas HaTorah Anshei Mishma. The Itmar long connection with that din of Kriyas HaTorah Rabba Madoylik, Rab says the first Olah HaTorah says three psukim and the next one repeats the last pasuk and learns another two psukim. So from five psukim you made two aliyahs. L'chatchili you're not allowed to do that, but B'shas HaTak you have an Abera. So Dolik say learn over one pasuk twice. So that's what Rav Amadol Shmuel Amad Paisim. Shmuel says no. The first aliyah gets 2.5 psukim, and the second aliyah gets 2.5 psukim. The din doesn't require three full psukim. 2.5 psukim is genug. The Gemara says, what is the machlokes depend on Rav Amadol my time lama paisik? Why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel? No, you're not allowed to. Because Sober Rav's opinion is kol psukim lo paskin, moisha nan lo paskin. You're not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. You can have a brief pause in the middle of a pasuk, but you can't call a different ilah la Torah and a half a pasuk. Shmuel Amar paskin alei, and Shmuel says you're laying 2.5 psukim for the kohen, don't have psukim for the pregnant mar. Is that permissible? Shmuel v'amr paskin alei Shmuel hazi. Why we let the lane 2.5 psukim? Avamr abchanan, amr abchananya. Kara, kara means he taught mikra. He probably taught little children chumash. So he says, he asked the shayla, sar gadol hoyli etzel rabchanina hagadol. His name was Rabchananya. So he said, he asked the shayla of the tana rabchanina hagadol. He was a melamed dardik. He taught little children. So the shayla was, can he teach them a half a pasuk at a time? Because called psukadol paskei moish and not like paskei. Now let us say half a pasuk. For teaching little children, you can't teach along such a long, if you have a long pasuk, it goes on 3 lines. How can you, they can't, the little children can't swallow so much. You have to teach a section of the pasuk at a time. So he said, this, Rab Chananya, Kara, Esther Shaila, Eitzor, Rab Chanina Godel. And it was only mekel b'shas ha'tagodol if you're teaching tinochim shal b'shabim, young little children, chumash, all the little slime and asuim. They can't swallow so much. You can't tell them a whole. So you have to teach it in separate parts. So the Gemara says, so usually we don't permit it. We don't permit reciting a half a pasuk. So how can Shmuel say paskinam? How can Shmuel say the first 2 aliyahs, each one gets 2.5 psukim, so you get 2 aliyahs out of 5 psukim. And for the Gemara, no. Well, sometimes I'm Shembelevsha, why was Rab Chanina HaGadol Mekel for Melami Tinoikis? Because Shas HaTchagadol HaChanami Lo Yavsha. Yeah, you have no Breira. Because you have only 8 psukim in the first parasha of Tomid. And if you're going to give 3 and 3, then you're going to only have 2 psukim. So you have no brera. So you have to give 2.5 and 2.5. Then the first 5 psukim, you get already 2 aliyahs, and then you have 3 psukim left. So that's machloikis Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara is implying the same machloikis that Rabbi Shmuel had regarding the Kriyas HaTorah of the Anshei Mishmar, that he used to learn Kriyas HaTorah every day of the week, would apply to the Kriyas HaMishchesh. And then how do we paskin? So the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, how do we paskin? So the Gemara has on the last narrow line, on Chavez and Aleph, and then the first wide line, Rabbi Bey the Rabbi, what does it say? Sholach Le Rabbi Bey the Rabbi, the Rabbi Yosef Hilchosamai. How do we paskin? Bottom line, Aloch Lemaise, on the Kriyas HaTermash Chedesh, the Gemara says, Hilchosamai, Sholach Le, so he sent it back. Apparently they live in different cities. So he sent her back a response, Hilchas Adolei, and so he dolgon. You don't lay in half a pasuk. Kol psuk de la paska moisha, and not like paskina. You don't lay in like Shmuel. You do like Rav Adolei, that you repeat the pasuk twice. Say the same pasuk twice. L'chatchila, you shouldn't do that. If you have a whole parsha of Shavua, you don't lay over one pasuk twice. You give each one 3 separate psukim. But if you got stuck, it's a shas hatkak, you have no breira. So you do like him. So our practice is that the Kohen gets the first 3 psukim, then the Levi repeats the 3rd pasuk that the Kohen said, and he lays another 2 psukim. So out of 5 psukim, he gave 2 aliyahs because he repeated the 3rd pasuk twice. Then you have 3 psukim left to the end of the parsha of Tamid. So you give at the width of Yom HaShabbos, so you have 3 psukim at the end of Talmud and the 2 psukim on Musa HaShabbos. Then Rosh HaShechem is the Revi. Yeah, that's practice. So that's problematic. Why did we repeat the 3rd pasuk that the Kohen got? If you repeat that pasuk, then the Aliyah of the Levi begins 2 psukim after the beginning of the paragraph. So there should be a Gzer Mepnei HaNechnosim. Some people will come in late, they'll come into the Aliyah of the Levi, and the Levi is going to begin from the 3rd pasuk in Parshas Dabar Meis HaMatalem, Parshas HaTamin. So the people who come in late will think that the first Aliyah, the Kohen got the first Aliyah, only got 2 psukim. So the Vilna Gaon felt, why should you do like that? Why not give the Kohen the first 3 psukim? Then the Levi you give the next 5 psukim, till the paragraph is over. Then you repeat the last 3 psukim that the Levi lain with another 2 psukim of the Yom HaShabbos. You don't have to violate anything. You don't have to violate. Why do we start the second Aliyah of Levi from the third Pasuk with Doileg? And the Levi's Aliyah begins to Psukim after the beginning of the Parsha there. Why not give the Levi from the fourth Pasuk till the end? The Klein got three Psukim, then five Psukim left. You give all the five Psukim to the Levi, and then the Shlishi will get the last three Psukim that the Levi had, Doileg three Psukim, and read the next two Psukim. So he won't be a violation of anything. Why do we have to violate Emaschinim at Parsha Pachas Megimel Psukim? So they quote in the history books that once on a Rosh Chodesh by Rabbi Akiva Eiger, they took out the Sefer Torah Talein. So they got a lane regular. So one of the Bala, someone came from Vilna, and he said, the Vilna Gaon has a new Shita that had a lane, and you don't violate anything. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, wow. Rabbi Kibego is prepared to follow the Vilna Gaon. But then someone was there, so they told Rabbi Kibego, no, but the Ramban already raises this possibility. Maybe you should do like the Vilna Gaon, and he rejects it. So Rabbi Kibego said, okay, if the Rishonim already were aware, and they rejected it, so it's a different story. But he was prepared, with his eyes closed, he was prepared to follow the Vilna Gaon. Then he followed the Vilna Gaon. Chafetz Chaim writes in the Hakdamah to the Mishneh Berurah, he's going to often quote the Vilna Gaon Shita. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's machliya lahalacha like that, but it lives in a generation where a lot of people, the late 1800s, early 1900s, when he was writing, and they were writing all the different volumes of the Mishneh Berurah, so he says many people in that generation like to follow the Piske halacha of the Vilna Gaon. So he's going to let them know. He doesn't mean to say that that's a psak halacha. For those who like to follow the Gro all the time, they should know what the Gro is. He meant himself. They said the Chafetz Chaim always followed the Piske HaGro. So that's what he writes. He's always going to write the Shitas HaGro because he and many others like always to follow the Gro. That's in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. That's the practice. They follow the Vilna Gaon. Because the Yishuv in recent years started in the early 1800s. The Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov both encouraged their followers. The Gro encouraged the Misnagdim, and the Baal Shem Tov encouraged the Hasidim. They should move to Eretz Yisrael, and this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. They both encouraged the same things. In the early 1800s, Talmidei HaGro moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they established a minig by the Ashkenazim to do like the Gro. On Yerushalayim, that's how they like. Anyway, that's the Gemara's Maskanuchas. Doileg v'emtsoi doileg. So the Gro has his Shita, and most people don't do like the Gro. This Gemara is a famous problem that Magen Avraham raises. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brochus, but the Gemara says, why do we say the third parsha of Shema? The first of parsha is say, B'shach b'chav k'mecha. The third parsha doesn't say anything about b'shach b'chav k'mecha. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah says, the third parsha of Vayomer is recited because of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. On Pesach night, there's a mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim means to tell a story about Riches, La'acherim, Derech She'lo Tshuva, we say, Ma'anish Tana Laila Zeh, Hakam Nisma, and with the whole story of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim revolves about the mitzvah of Salayla. Pesach Shana Ochem. So you tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Derech She'lo Tshuva, and Bariches, Kalamar B'lesaper Ezem Meshulach, and you tell it L'Acherim. And every day is only a mitzvah of Zechiras Mitzrayim, to tell B'kitza Nimratz about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says that they picked the Parsha of Vayomer. The Gemara says, it's because of the last Pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. So Gemara and Brochus asked the question, they could have picked a more elegant pasuk in Nevuas Bilam HaRasha, in Parshas Balak. Bilam says in his Nevuah, Kel Motziyam in Mitzrayim Kisof HaSre'em Lo. The Rabbanu Shel Olam took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and it was a very elegant way. Kisof HaSre'em Lo. It was very beautiful, very elegant, and these are the flaws. So why do we say this sort of boring pasuk? Why not say a more elegant pasuk? So the Gemara says, no, you're going to say that pasuk in Parshas Bilam, you're going to have to say the whole long Nevuas Bilam, because there's a din called Parshas Le Paskin Moshe, and not Le Paskin, and not only a din called Psukim, called Parsha Lo Paskin Mashanan Lo Paskin. People have to go to work in the morning. You're going to say it's way longer than the Parsha of Tzitzis. So you have no choice. So that's why they, instead of Kel Motziyam and Mitzrayim, they picked on Bayomer, which doesn't have so much, it just has about Tzitzis, doesn't have too much outside discussion there. So the Magen Avraham is Ma'or with the Kasha. It's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. Is it called Psukah de la Paskin Moshe, or is it Mocham Karparsha de la Paskin Moshe? So Rav Soloveitchik said, so the Magen Avraham has a teretz, and the Shagas Aryeh, and the Sefer Turiyev and Megillah has a teretz, and he has a Turiyev and Rosh Hashanah talks about it also. So the Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe it's all the same din. Maybe the din is you have to lay in kichsava. And if you're going to read half a pasuk or half a parsha, that's a violation of kichsava. But it depends what's the unit that you're working with. In Kriyas HaTorah, the unit that you're working with is a unit of psukim. Because the din requires every aliyah should have a minimum of three psukim and the sum total of the whole Kriyas HaTorah. And Sheni B'chamishi and Shabbos afternoon to Minchas, then you should have a minimum of 10 psukim. So if you're working with psukim, the units that you're working with psukim, then the din is called psukim de paskin moshe, not like paskinah. If you'll say half a pasuk, that'll be kriyak shalai kichsov. But in kriyashma, the third parsha is attached to the first two parshas. The first two parshas, you don't just read the pasuk that says b'shalach b'chol kamecha. B'shalach kamecha means you have to say this whole parsha in the morning and the evening, the whole parsha. So then you add Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim to the first two parshias, that it should be Kriya Shema, it should be Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim Vayidei Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The two blend in together. That's how Rav Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out. How come the Rambam never counted the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? He only counts in the Sefer HaMitzvah, he counts the mitzvah of Sipei Yetzias Mitzrayim Alel Pesach. The Sapir Tzias Mitzrayim, Kalamar, but the Sapir Ezer Meshuvach, to tell the story by Riches, that he counts. But the daily mitzvah of the Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, he doesn't count. How come? So a simple answer would be, so the Tzlach, Brachas, raises the Shad. How come the Ram didn't count the mitzvah of the Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, Bechol Yom? So the simple answer would be that the Ramam in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs formulates the 14 sharoshim, the 14 ikar, the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan mitzvah or not. So the first klali has is you only include dinim deraisa, you don't include dinim derabban. Then I think the second klali is you only include mitzvahs that are noig lederis. Something is only harav shah, that's not called a mitzvah, that's called the dvar novi, divrei novi. That's a definition. When is it divrei novi? When is it din deraisa? If it's a din l'daris, then it's a mitzvah. That's Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. Quotes from the Tanaim, Hey, Loshem Tzav, Loshem Ziris, Meyad l'daris. Something is a din that's not l'daris, then it's called a mitzvah. It's only Hayrasha, then it's called Oival Divrei Navi, it's a nevuah. Then the Rambam's third klal, I think, from the 14th Shoshim, the third klal is he only include mitzvahs that are l'fi pshutu shal mikra. Something only a drasha of Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs. Why? So the Ramban misunderstood the Rambam. Ramban thought that the reason why is if the Rambam holds that all of Torah's Baal Peh is only Midi Rabbanan, it's not binding Midi Torah. So he said, that's not true. All the drushes are Torah's Baal Peh Adinim Derais. The Pashto said, that's not why the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam said, you can't count something that's only known through drushes or Torah's Baal Peh. The Shita say that the Rambam in the Akdome to the Pirush HaMishnah is printed in the back of Brachas. The Rambam has a machlokes with the Gaonim. There are midrashim, quite a few midrashim that say, "Kol ma shetalmid vasik osel lechadish nemagol leMoshe miSinai." Every psak in the Magen Avraham, every psak in the Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So it sounds like they had a tradition. The Gaonim said they had a tradition on every single din. So what are the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bam all about? So the Gaonim said, you can't invent your own din based on your going to darshan at the pasuk, a klal, a prat, a klal. Everything has to be l'moshe misinai. Midrash HaTorah Reshes Hashem is to check whether your tradition is accurate or not. If there's no way to derive that din, that you have a tradition through the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Hashem, that is an indication that it's incorrect. if he can darshan it from the psukim. No one has the right to darshan a pasuk yesh me'ayin, and I'm going to make up a new din deraisa that I have no tradition on. No, they can only darshan psukim if you have a tradition. And the purpose of the drushes of klal prati klal of shayi b'klal the yatsim and klal, all of that is just to check whether your tradition is accurate or not. So the Rambam says that that's scandalous to hold like that. It cannot be correct. It comes out that every time there's a machlekes, every perek in Mishnayos has a machlekes. The Gemara is full of machlekes. Andirim deraisa. So every machlekes is based on shikha, that the Tanaim, the most precious thing that the Jewish people possesses, is the Torah. And then we forgot every single din. Machlekes on everything. How can you say like that? They forgot everything. They forgot everything. The machlekes on everything. So the Rambam says it's not true. There were 613 mitzvahs lefi pshuto shel mikra before you darshan any drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh. Then the Rabbanim in every generation have the right to darshan Torah Shabbat Peh the way they see fit. They have to know. We today, we don't know how to darshan. We don't know how to darshan these things. In fact, in Seder Kotchim, Zvachim and Menachas and Bechiris, the Gemara has a lot of dinim in Kotchim. So Tosfos says, where did they get? Where did the Tanaim figure out this? And the Tosfos guesses, probably based on a klal prat, the Dov Shoeva, whatever. So many, many times in the back of the Gemara, the Achrayim point out that Tosfos guessed wrong. You have the Torah's Kohanim now. So the Torah's Kohanim doesn't say what Tosfos said. Torah's Kohanim gives you a different source for these dinim. Tosfos didn't. Balei Tosfos, the knack of darshaning psukim with midrash Shatar and Reshmem has been lost. You never really find that Amoraim. Amoraim didn't know how to darshan the psukim. The Tanoim had the chush, and then it was lost at that time. So the Rambam holds the best in every generation. If they know how to utilize the midrash Shatar and Reshmem, they have the right to darshan whatever they think is correct, even if it's the disagreement with those who preceded them. Also, that the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi. All the Rishonim quote that from the Yerushalmi. The Mishnah has a klal, Ein bez neochel abat l'diri mechaz nachavelim ken gadol ha-menem b'chochmeh v'minyin. You can't disagree with an earlier bez unless you're greater b'chochmeh. So the Rambam said, that's not true. There is no such thing you can't disagree. The bezden in every generation has the right to disagree even if they know on their own that they're not greater than. It's only if the Bezdin, later Bezdin, wants to repeal the rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier Bezdin, and Bezdin Yochel Batel Dire Bezdin Chavero. Not Levatel means that an earlier Bezdin made a takana de Akzeira de Rabbanim, later Bezdin wants to repeal it, you have to be greater B'chachma Meminyan. But if the later Bezdin disagrees, how you darshan the psukim, you don't have to be greater B'chachma Meminyan. Ein l'cha l'shef, it should be a mecha. So that's what the Rambam says. You can't include in the Taryag mitzvahs a din that's only established a chiv that's only established based on a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh, because there are only 613 mitzvahs. So if Bezin comes up, the new din deraisa, you have to throw out one of the earlier dinim. You can only have 613. So he says, no. You start with 613 mitzvahs. Then in every generation, the Chachamim add on another mitzvah, and another mitzvah, and another an essay, a lois essay, based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshmem. You've got to have thousands of mitzvahs over the generation. You add everything up together. So this din that you have to mention, Zechiras Yitzeiam every day, that's not lefi pshuto shel mikra. In Parshas Re'eh, it says you have to eat Korban Pesach Matzah Mor. And then it says, the reason for this mitzvah of Pesach Matzah Mor is that you should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The simple reading of the pasuk is that this is the Nesinas Tam, this reason why there's a mitzvah of Achilas Pesach Matzah Mor. The mantiska, you should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's so important about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the Kori Hamunah were demonstrated to be accurate. There were millions of people who witnessed Esar Makas, Makas Becharus, there was Gilu Shechina, Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimon Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Laman Revois Moipsa Be'eretz Mitzrayim, I'm going to make a lot of Nisim and Nifloes, the purpose was of the Nisim and Nifloes of Yitzhak Man, V'yidaitim Ki Ani Hashem, you should know all the Ikari Hamunah are true. And all of these Ikari Hamunah, the Yud Gimel Ikari Hamunah, that the Rambam lists, and the Siddur they have it at the end of Shachar, all the 13 Anim, the Rambam has it in the Hakdomah to the Pirush HaMishnah is on Chelek. And Perek Chelek, he has all the Ikari Hamunah. So, the purpose of all the Nisim and the Flores is to demonstrate to such a big crowd of people, there were Shishim Riba people, there were Shishim Riba men between the age of 20 and 60. There were people younger than 20, people older than 60. And then if there were Shishim Riba men, there were probably Shishim Riba women also. The world is Machtas Chom and Machtas Nekem, is approximately 50-50. And then there was Erev Rav Olei Itam. A lot of Egyptians wanted to convert and to join the Jewish religion. So there were several million people who witnessed all of these Nisim and Nifloes, and all of the Ikari Hamunah were demonstrated to them. So that's why the Chachamim decided we should put Vayomer, Zechira Sitzias and Sarayim, right after Kriya Shema, Shema Vayomer Shemayim. Because the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is the mitzvah of Kabbalah Salmachal Shemayim. You should say Shema Yisrael. That's a machlokes in the Gemara in Brochus and Avchof, where the Kriya Shema Deraisa and Kriya Shema Derabbanim. What do you mean, Kriya Shema Derabbanim? It's a pasuk, B'shach B'chol Kamecha. Kriya Shema is Deraisa. So the Shagasari quotes the Rabbeinu Yoina and that Gemara. What's the machlokes? Everybody agrees Kriya Shema is Deraisa. The machlokes is, that means you should recite this parsha of Shema V'Yoyim Shemayim, because it has Kabbalos on Machu Shemayim and Kabbalos on Mitzvahs and Kabbalos Limer HaTorah, or it just means the Mitzvah, the Mar Tamar says Melechem B'Shach B'Chav Kamecha Talmud Torah, so you can be answered with anything. So if your Kriya Shema Derabbana means that the insistence on reciting these two paragraphs, that's only by the Rabbana. On the level of the Raisa, Kriya Shema just means you should learn Torah about Gisba Yom Valoid. You should learn Torah every day, a little bit every day, and a little bit every night. That's a possible Gisba Yom Valoid. So the Shachol Kamecha is saying the same thing. So according to that opinion, that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema just means a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, by Yom Balayla, so they wouldn't be counted as two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Kriya Shema, one mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the Rambam paskens Kriya Shema is their Isa. Taisus, the first Taisus in Brachas, seems to pass Kriya Shema lav deraisa. That's what Rabbi Kevega writes there on the Mishnayis. The first Rabbi Kevega on Mishnayis Brachas. But the Rambam paskens Kriya Shema is deraisa means the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is dafke to say these two parshias, Kabbalas al Machu Shamayim and Kabbalas al Mitzvahs and Kabbalas Liman HaTorah. And then the Talmud Torah is a separate mitzvah, so the Rambam counts as two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to learn Torah, and that's why Gisa V'Yom learn to learn a little bit every day, a little bit every night. Then another mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Kabbalas al Machu Shamayim V'Yom V'Laila. So that's where Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained, why do they put Vayomer next to the two parshas of Shema? This is Sitzias, and this is Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim. And we say, the Mantiskar, instead of interpreting, you should eat Pesach Matzah Mar, and Parshas Re, you should eat Pesach Matzah Mar, and Nora, the Mantiskar, Nora, you should remember all of your days, so we say the Mantiskar, and this additional level of Matersha means the Mantaskir. You should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kol Yimechayecha, Yimechayecha, Hayamim, Kol Yimechayecha, Halilos. You should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by Yom HaBalayla. Why? So that's what Rav Chaim explained based on Ibn Ezra and Chumash. Ibn Ezra quotes on Anochi Hashem HaMakecha Shehatzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He quotes Rav Yura Levi. According to Jewish Haggadah, he married the daughter of Rav Yudah Levi. He never mentioned that it's his father-in-law, so that's a question. So he quotes Rav Yudah Levi, raised a question, why did the Rambam Hillel say, Anoche Shamakech Asher, say, Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? She said, Anoche Shamakech Asher, Baros Yishamayim Ba'aretz. I created the whole wide world. What does he only say about Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the Ibn Ezra says, it's not a difficult kasha. The Rebbe Shalom says, you, the whole Klal Yisrael, experience Yitzias Mitzrayim. On the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the Ikari HaMunah were demonstrated to be true. That's what the Rabbi Shlom said. Laman Rabbi's Mavsad the Eretz Mitzrayim. I'm going to make Nisim and Flois be Yedaitem Ki Ani Hashem. The purpose of all the Nisim and the Flois is that all the Ikari Hamunah should be demonstrated as being true. So the nature of the mitzvah of Kriyashma is not Talmud Torah. The nature of the mitzvah is Kabbalah Salmach Hashemayim, Kabbalah Sal Torah, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. So that's why we say Zechias Yitzias Mitzrayim in connection, because on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the Ikari Hamunah were demonstrated to be true, that there is such a thing as Noah, Nevuah, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNeviim, and that there's Charbi Yonish, and so on, and there's Yediyah, Bechira, all the Ikari Hamunah were demonstrated to be true. So, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. Since the Chachamim will convey that we should fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzchak in connection with Kriya Shema, so it has to be a third parsha, just like Shema is a parsha and Vayom Shema is a parsha. So if you want to say Kel Matziyam and Mitzvah Kisofas Reim Loi, that pasuk in Nevuas Bilam, you have to say the whole Nevuah, the whole parsha, because you have to have Kriya Shema Kisofa. Yichsava means if you're working with Kriya Sator, you're working with Psukim. Because the Takana was every Ali should have a minimum of 3 Psukim. The whole Sach HaKol, the whole sum total of the whole Kriya Sator, and Sheni HaMishi should have 10 Psukim. So if you're working with units of Psukim, then we say, if you say a half a Pasuk called Psukim Dole Paske Moshe, and not like Paskin, and that'll be a violation of that Shaloi Kichsava. When it comes to Kriya Shema, the third Parsha is added on to the first 2 Parshias to enhance it. That we know these Ikari Amunah, Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, we know it because we experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. So since it's supposed to be added on to the first 2 parshas of Shema altogether, so the whole Zechias Mitzrayim has to be with the whole parsha, called Parsha Dalei Paskim Rosh. If we say half a parsha, that'll be Shalai Kechsol. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. It's not, he doesn't think that's a contradiction. The Magen Avraham has that contradiction. Does it didn't depend on called Psuka de la Paskamash called Parsha? So Rav Soloveitchik thought it's one and the same din, that the Kriya has to be Kirchsova. If you're working with units of Psukim, then the unit is a Pasuk. And if you're laying a half a Pasuk, that'll be Shalai Kirchsova. But when Kriya Shema, you're working with the units of a whole Parsha, a whole paragraph from a Psucha to a Summa, or Summa to a Psucha, and so on. So then you say called Parsha de la Paskamash. So then Rav Soloveitchik got it on. On Parshas Hazinu, the Gemara has a din, you have to lay in Haziblach. You're not permitted to make Leisophis. You have to lay in Hazinu, Kedech Shemapsikin, the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. Used to recite Hazinu in connection, I think, with the Korbanos HaMosofim. Ein Amim Shira El Alayai, the Levim would sing Shir Shal Yom, or whatever Shira they would sing. They would sing the Shira at the time that the Kohanim were pouring the Nisach Hayayim of Kabbalah Siba, not Kabbalah Siyachid. Kabbalah Siyachid also have Nisach Hayayim, but the Levim don't sing Shira. They only sing Shira when they're pouring the Yayin from the Kabbalah Siba. So every Shabbos they said Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. That's in connection with the Tomei Shel Shachar. What did they say when the what Shira did they sing when the Kohanim were pouring the Nisach Hayayim of the Musafim? So I think that's the Gemara, the end of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, they said Hazinu, and every week they would say one section of Hazinu, and Kedech Shachalukim Kan, the way the Levim divided Hazinu, it's a poem, and you have to stop in the right place in a poem. If you stop in the wrong place, it killed the whole poem. So the Gemara says, Kedech Shachalukim Kan, Kachalukim Bebeis HaKnesses. When you're laying Shabbos Hazinu, when you're laying it in Shul, you're not allowed to make any Hoistophis. So, what is that all about? Rav Soloveitchik thought that's also, you have to, just like Kriya Sator, you have to lay in Bator's Psukim. If you're going to break up a Pasuk, it's Shalai Kichsovam. And you have to lay in Kriya Shema Bator's Parshios. If you're going to lay in a Parsha, don't let Paske Moshe, that's a violation of Kriya Shema Shalai Kichsovam. You have to say a whole Parsha. So too, Shiras Hazid, you have to lay in, that's what Gemara tells you, have to lay in Bator's a poem. A shira does mean a song, it means a poem. And if you stop in the wrong place, you're going to make yourself, it's going to kill the whole poem. There is a machlekes sachreinim, where they have to be machmen on haziblach. That's the Gemara has there in the end of the last perek of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara has Hazivla. Hey Zayin Yud Vav Lamed Chav. That's the first letter of the Aliyas on Parshas Aleinu. Hey Zayin Yud Vav is four Aliyas, and Loch is another two. That's the first six Aliyas, and the Gemara says you're not going to make any Haisafas. So that's a Machlekes. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch says he quotes Achrenim and only applies on Shabbos Hazinim. When you're laying the whole Shira, you have to lay it B'Torah Shira, and you have to stop at the right place. So that's Hazivloch. But if you're laying Sheni V'Chamishi, let's say Shabbos afternoon, what's right before Hazinu? So Vayelach is Vayelach. So at Shabbos afternoon, that you're laying either Nitzom Vayelach or Vayelach, when you start laying Hazinu, you're not going to lay the whole poem. You're not going to finish the whole Hazinu. You're just going to give the first three Aliyahs. So then the Ramah is Mekel. You don't have to, you can make a sophist. You don't have to be Makbed on Hazivloch. Another Achrayim insists, no. The Shari Knesset Agdala quotes other Achrayim and say, no. Whenever you lay Hazinu and Shul, you have to lay it B'Torah Shira. So you have to lay. Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, that was the minhag, that to a Makbed on Hazivloch, even a Sheni V'Chamish and Shabbos afternoon to Milcha Parshas Vayelach. So they were laying a half a Sedra. They were laying three Aliyahs until Revi. They laying the first three Aliyahs. So he thought that all of that is a din deraisa. Hazivloch is then called Parsha Leit Paskei Moshe, called Psukha Leit Paskei Moshe. Everything is a din deraisa, that's considered Kriya Shalei Kichsova. Anyway, that's the Gemara here. Usually there's a din called Psukha Leit Paskei Moshe, Anan Leit Paskei Moshe. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion here. It's not too important about this din. Anichnasim ayotzim. Okay. Halacha lemaisa, we finished the whole Gemara. So then the next Gemara starts the topic that we mentioned earlier. How many aliyahs do you give in a time of Sibur? Very strange. What did they do last year? No one remembers what they did last time. Boy Lahu, and the second wide lining, Mars and Shaila. Tidesiba become, how many aliyahs do you give? Should I say Rosh Chodesh and Chalamoidik, a carbon musaf? There's an extra thing, there's a carbon musaf, our boy, give four aliyahs. Abulacha, the lack of carbon musaf on a Tidesiba, there is no carbon musaf, loy, by Dilma, Hachanani, Ika musaf, Fila. He say, Ne'ila. So instead of saying, three tefillahs, Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, or Ma'ariv Shachris Mincha, you have Ma'ariv Shachris Mincha and Ne'ilah, you have an extra tefillah. And every time in Siva, not just on Yom Kippur. By us, the Gemara says, they only say Ne'ilah on a time in Siva. The Gemara says, ain't time in Siva, bebovel, chutz mitish bovel Yom Kippur. These are the only two. And you only say Ne'ilah on a time in Siva. How come we don't say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? That's Rav Soloveitchik explained. The whole idea of Nila is that if you do Ribui Tefillah, you stand a better chance of having your Tefillahs answered. So that's only by Medvar Mamurim any other day of the year. But on Tisha B'Av, when you lay an Echa, so it says an Echa,
It's not some Tefillahs.
The tefillahs are not accepted like this bunch of Beis HaMikdash HaYikam, because the Beis HaMikdash is basically Beis Tefillah Yikam. That's the office where the tefillah should be offered. It should best is to daven in the Beis HaMikdash and to daven nochach HaMikdash. The Rambam seems to say in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, the daven facing the Beis HaMikdash is a din deraisa, it's not a din derabanan. And after Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so you don't stand as good a chance of having your tefillahs accepted. And the whole idea of Ne'ilah is if you do a Ribui Tefillah, you stand a better chance of having your tefillahs answered. But Tisha B'Av is the day when we commemorate Chud Beis Hamikdash. That's Sasan Tefillahs. Tefillahs are not accepted. So that's the reason why we don't say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av. But on any other time, the only tiny Sibur we have in Bavel is Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. And Tisha B'Av, you don't say Ne'ilah. They're just left with the Yom Kippur. Why is Ain't Tidus Sibur B'Bavel? Why is Eretz so different? So the Rishonim say, no, Eretz so you have a Bezman. So the Bezman's goes a Tainus. Whenever there's an Eish Tzorah, the Bezman's goes a Tainus. the situation in the days of the Tanoim, they had no way to desalinate the water. So if it wouldn't rain, it'll be a sakonas nefashas. If it doesn't rain, there's no water. So the animals can die, the people can die, the vegetation will die. If there's no rain, it's going to be gefelach. Now, they know how to desalinate the water from the Mediterranean. So now, there's no longer a sakon. It'll be a big hefset moment. Desalinate the water costs a lot of money, but no one's life is besakon. But if you have a melchama b'Eretz Yisrael, that's mamish all day long. The soldiers are besakonis nefoshes. The soldiers are besakonis nefoshes. So that's a cause to be goyzer of tainus. We don't have any desmin being goyzer of any tainus, but more correct is we should fast. It's a real ace sorrow. The Rambam starts off Hilchus Tainios. The Pasuk is in Parshas Paloscha, V'chisavoyu melchamad b'yartzachem, al atzarat ha-reshem, v'chalidu labia melchamad eretzah, v'ariyosem v'chatzaitzos. You have to blow chatzaitzos. So the Rambam starts off Hilchus Tainios, mitzvah says, Lizuk olohariyah, al kol tzorah sholem tova. Lizuk means not stam tefila. Tzoka means tefila b'yais tzorah, more serious. To say slichus, to say avinu malkeinu, to add more serious tefillos, and to blow chatzaitzus. It's many centuries, we no longer blow chatzaitzus. So Moshe has a tshuva, I think, in the first chelek igros Moshe, how come we don't blow chatzaitzus anymore? So I seem to remember, he quotes a Magid Mishnah, that the mitzvah ariyosem chatzaitzus only applies to the chatzaitzus in the Beis HaMikdash. So we don't have those chatzaitzus anymore. It's very questionable whether that's... But the Magen Mishnah says like that. He said, that's the reason why we don't blow chatzaitzus. So the Rambam starts off, Hilchus Tainius Mitzvah says, say, Lizuk olohariya. Lizuk means the daven tzo'oka. Slichus avinu malkeinu. Olohariya to blow chatzaitzus. So we do Lizuk, we don't do olohariya, because you don't have chatzaitzus. Then he says, in Alocha Dalet, Perakalav Alocha Dalet, Tainius, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah lehisanes. To fast on a tainus siva be'eis Torah. Why is that a mitzvah to fast? Because by fasting, the Gemara has in the end of the second parak in Brachas, the different tanoim and amaroim would always add different tachnunim achat tfilosai. They would always add additional tchinas. So one of them, whenever he would fast on a tainus, he would offer a tefillah, Yiratzim Afanecha, Shemir Chalbeinu V'Domeinu. When a person fasts on a tainus, he loses an ounce or two of weight, because he didn't eat any meals, and he doesn't produce as much dam as he usually would, because he's not eating any food. Shemir Chalbeinu V'Domeinu should be considered as if we brought a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in tainus says that Choni Amago lived as Manabayis, times of Shemin and Shetach. So there was no rain, so the Eschori HaMagol, he should be mispower. So he went into the Beis HaMikdash, he brought a korban, then he went. That's Derech Erech Tikstek. So if you're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do you a taiva, so you bring him a korban, and then you ask him to do us a taiva, give us a kesha. That's like Yankov Avinu, when Yosef is holding in prison, Shimon, he took Shimon, and he put him in prison. So the father, Yaakov Avinu, said, when you go back, give a matana to Yosef, and then after you give matana, then you ask him to please free Shimon, the brother. So Derech Eretz dictates you should bring a korban first before you offer the tefillah. So if we fast, that's a b'chinah. Mi'etchal beinu adameinu should be accepted as if we brought a korban. So we really, more correct is we should talk a fast. At the end of Tishrei, on Yom Kippur Kotan, many people in yeshiva fasted. The Rabbeim recommended. That's when the Muhammad began, right after Gefelach, right after Shmini Atzeres was the big pogrom. So we hope that people will fast again. And this coming Yom Kippur Kotan next week, Rosh Chodesh is on Tuesday, so Erev Rosh Chodesh is on Monday. So that's a good day to fast. And then if you have 10 people that took, you have to be Mekabel Neder. The Gemara says, if you fast without Kabbalah on Neder, that doesn't count. Just like a korban, you have to be Magdish the korban in advance. So the Pasuk says, Kachu Tzom, Kiru Atzor. Kachu Tzom means declare the day as a Yom Tainus. Either the Bezen is going to Tainus, but if you don't have a Bezen whose Psochem are binding on everyone, so the people have to be Mekabel Tainus. So if the mekabel time is b'li neder, so that's not a kabbalah satan. If by time you daven mincha, it comes out that there are 10 people who fasted all day, and they plan to fast to the end of the day, and they didn't say b'li neder, so then you lay by chal, and the chazan says, aneinu abracha b'fnei atzmi. That's what they did on Yom Kippur Kotten before Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. So now they should talk to repeat the thing. Yeah. And the yeshiva, we say Avinu Malkeinu every day. If in some shuls the balabatim have to run to work, so they're upset about the saying Avinu Malkeinu. They don't realize what a major sakana it is. They never had such since the days of the Shoah. They never had such a pogrom where they killed over 1,000 people in one day with such torturing, with such inhumaneness. Never had such a terrible thing. This is gefährlich. So look, if the Balabatan don't appreciate it, so it doesn't make sense to say Avinu Malkeinu every day. And maybe they should limit it in the days of the Tanoim, when they were Tanya's Kishamim, they were Fir Sheni V'Chamishi. And then Rabbi Kiva introduced that you should say the Avinu Malkeinu. So maybe they should cut out the Avinu Malkeinu instead of saying every day, just say Sheni V'Chamishi, or say it on Shabbos and Sunday when no one runs to work. You say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos and Sunday. Usually when Yom Kippur and Aseres Mitzvah, we say Avinu Malkeinu 10 days in a row. Yeah, the 10 days we can survive saying Avinu Malkeinu. Here we're saying Avinu Malkeinu, it's already 30 days after the pogrom. The pogrom is on Shmini Atzeres, it's already 30 days later. So some people are not so excited about saying the Avinu Malkeinu. So in Shulchan Aruch, for 10 days Aseres Mitzvah, okay. But for such a prolonged time, so people don't—they're not kind of dimachavin, so it's not too valuable. But it says Shulchan Aruch, the main thing is you say Avinu Malkeinu on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though we don't say Tar. And so you see, that's not a contradiction to say Avinu Malkeinu on a Yontif on a day when you don't say Tachnun. On Shabbos, the minig is when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Then you don't say Avinu Malkeinu except for Ne'ila. Because Ne'ila is the Gemar HaChasima. So that's the Shas HaSakana. Today, unfortunately, all day long, the soldiers are Mamish B'Sakana. Every single day, soldiers are being killed. And Nisim and Eflois, that so few soldiers lost their lives. But still, it's a tragedy if one person loses his life. It's a tragedy. So by us, all day long, it's like Yom Kippur by Ne'ila. We should really say Avinu Malkeinu even on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and everything. And the Pashtus is, let's say, next week on Rosh Chodesh on Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh. So the Pashtus is that after Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, we should say Avinu Malkeinu first and then say Chatzi Hala. Chatzi Hala and Rosh Chodesh, that's a minig. Avinu Malkeinu is a real din deraisa. That's Kisavoy Muhammad Be'atzchem Hariyosa Mechatzaitzritz. The Rambam says, mitzvah says, lizik alo hariya. Saying the Avinu Malkeinu, that's lizik. That's the zaaka. We don't usually say Avinu Malkeinu every day. It's special because of the sakana satzibur. Next Tuesday, there's going to be a big rally in Washington. It's very important. We never had this before. We never had such a pogrom since the days of the Nazis. And we never had the following. In the past, we went to Washington every time there was a Muhammad. We went to Washington, went to the United Nations. That's what the Tanaim says, L'chuba Havginu. It's not a goyish thing. The Tanaim recommended, make a demonstration. Yes, do a Muslim. We're brothers with the same mishpacha. Yankiv and Esau are brothers. Why are you killing us? Why are you making gzeiros against us? You have to do Havkanah. But this we never had in the past. There's such an organized reaction from the Palestinians that we never had before. The Palestinians are pressuring the congressman and pressuring the president of the United States and pressuring the State Department that they should favor the Palestinians, that they should favor Hamas. That's terrible. We never had that in the past. So that's unfortunately, the people who organized this rally of Washington on Tuesday were not the people who davened. Said they don't have to daven Musa from Rosh Chodesh, they don't have to say Chatzi Halal. So they organized it for Rosh Chodesh. It's not the smartest thing to have a rally on Rosh Chodesh. How are people going to daven? But we have to participate. Whoever can participate has to go. In the past, I remember, it wasn't the same tzar that it is now. Now it's worse than it ever was before. And everybody went, all the yeshivas, they went. The Aguda also encouraged people to go. They notified the public over this rally, and they're encouraging people, they should go. The yeshivas are going to have to go. Everybody has to go. Hi. So this is the shayla that the Gemara has. How many aliyahs do you give on a tiny sibah? The Gemara is going to come to the conclusion of the parish of Braisa. You give three aliyahs. Machlok is fatanim, where the three aliyahs are one aliyah. But nobody says that you give four aliyahs. That's going to be the maskon. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. We hope next week, maybe all the tzoras will be over. We hope, we pray. We have a lot to pray for. In this week's Sedra, the Pasuk says that Eliezer Eved Avraham is bringing home Rivka to marry Yitzchak Avinu. So Rashi quotes in the Gemara, "Ein sicha l'loshen tefilah kemo tefilah l'anikiyat avinu lifnei Hashem yishpach sicha." Sicha means tefilah, to pray. So the Gemara had a tradition, tefilas avos tiknum. Avraham Avinu introduced shachris, Yitzchak introduced mincha, and Yaakov Avinu introduced ma'ariv. We don't know, what right do we have to daven? The Rebbe Shalom is busy running a whole wide world. We come and we pester him. I need a shidduch for my granddaughter. I need a parnasa for this one. I need a refuah for this one. He has a bellyache. We come and we pester the Rebbe Shalom about Dvarim Shel Mabekach. He's busy running a whole wide world. So what right do we have to pester him? So we start off, we invoke the fact that we are descendants of the Olis and the Tanakh, because that they daven, so if they were big Nevi'im, and if they daven, means that we have the right to daven as well. We want our tefillah to be a hemshech of their tefillahs. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov daven, and we're davening, so the schus that we are descendants from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, who originated the three tefillahs, we invoke the schusim that the Baruch Hashem should answer our tefillahs. That's why we always start off, because they were the ones who introduced all the tefillos. The Rebbe Rishon should be kind, have rachmanas on Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, "And his son, the Golem, melech the tshuva." The Jews have to do tshuva. If they're not doing tshuva, then the Gemara says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu will make him aleihem melech rasha kehaman." This mom is like Haman. They want to kill men, women, and children, just like Haman. And under the pressure of Hasaras HaTabas, the Pasuk says that when Haman spoke to Achashverosh, he convinced him he should kill all the Jews. He should wipe out all the Jews. So it says in the beginning, he took off his signet ring and he gave it to Haman, he should sign whatever he wants. So the Gemara calls that Hasaras HaTabas. Gedola Hasaras HaTabas, the effect of a melech rasha making a gzeir against the Jewish people is stronger than the effect of all of the neviim. The Rebbe Shalom sent memches neviim and four neviyos, and the Jews didn't do tshuva. And when the Rebbe Shalom does hasaras hatabas, all the Jews know they have to do tshuva. The chilonim, hundreds of thousands of chilonim in the army want to wear arvakantas all over in Eretz Yisrael in America. All these Jews, they're making tzitzis for the chilonim. The religious soldiers brought their own tzitzis. They don't need it. Chilonim want tzitzis. A lot of the chilonim want tefillin. And they're promising they'll wear tefillin every single day. And they're buying tefillin for them. Buying tefillin for them. This is the chilonim know in their hearts that what they're supposed to be observant. They know. So they think they'll get away with it. And then when the Rebbe Shalom gives them a pitch, it gives a patch. He's Mamin Melech Haman, Melech Rosha Kaman. So the people take it to heart, and they right away they do tshuva. We hope that this should be the that should be the gula, and so on the Golem Melech tshuva. Maybe this will be the last of all the wars in the world. Maybe this will be Muhammad's Haschalta the gula. The Gemara says, and Muhammad, who's going to be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews win the Muhammad. Maybe this will be, maybe the Gula HaSida. Can you hear that sign? have a lot to daven for. Okay, believe me, next week we'll try to give the shiur on Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yom Pekah.